Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. For anyone who's new to our show, we are a show for couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage, or maybe you're in the process of adoption, but God's plan for you and journey looks a little different than you thought it would be. And we just want to go on that journey with you and encourage you along the way. Hey, we'd love to hear from you. We have a, haven't given it in a little while, our email address is hannahsheart@afa.net. That's one word, hannahsheart@afa.net. We love hearing from listeners. We've had a lot of great show ideas come in, and we really love praying with you guys. We've gotten to pray with some of y'all on the phone that we've connected through email or Facebook, and we're all the places.
Not we're all the places.
We're Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You can connect with us there. But yeah, it's a lonely journey when you're struggling with these things. And so please connect. If you don't have somebody in your corner consistently pointing you back to Christ, we would love to connect with you. So please reach out to us.
Yes. And so I get to introduce the show, the guest today on the show. She is actually a calling guest all the way from California.
Ooh, ooh.
That is so cool.
We have
to
stars
me.
In our eyes over here. California.
Little Mississippi girls. But she is someone I have not personally met. We met on, I guess I met her on social media, on Instagram. I found her little neck of the woods on social media after John Micah passed away, and I was just desperately searching, I guess as to say, unfortunately, for other on that community, they call it lost moms. Mm. And her account came up, and just how real she would be as she was sharing her own grief. She struggled for a little while with infertility, and then I'm going to let her get into her story, but she is a lost mom. And so I reached out to her a few times and then reached out to her about being on the show. And I'm so glad that she agreed. So, Mary, are you still there?
I'm here.
All right. Do you want to introduce yourself and just let us know a little bit about your family and what that looks like? And then we'll get into your story and why you're on today.
Sure. So I'm Mary. I'm 35. I'm a school psychologist by day, and I've been married to my husband. It'll be 10 years this year, and we've been together for 14 years.
Wow.
And he has
congratulations.
Yeah, it's been a while. He has a daughter. She's 21. We have our son, who my husband adopted. He's 13. We struggled with fertility issues for many years, and we now have a 3-year-old and a set of sunrise sunset twins.
Mm. And sunrise, I'm
sunset. Do you want to explain that term?
Sure. What I actually stumbled across that in my lost journey. I found out last year, the day after Mother's Day, at around 20 weeks and during my twin pregnancy, that my son Maverick passed away. So he is my sunset twin, and my surviving twin Erickson is our sunrise.
My goodness. I have never heard that term.
I had never heard it until I saw her share it on her Instagram account.
Wow.
There's so many emotions with that, I'm sure. Like, I know you've shared some about it on some of the stories that I've watched of yours, but talking about just crazy emotions that you have of, okay, I just miscarried this sweet baby boy, but I still have this baby boy. Like, what does that look like for you?
It was unreal. I remember going in to maternal fetal medicine with my husband, And a few days prior, we had done a private scan and watched Erickson and Maverick play and beat each other up and kick each other and just have a ball. And a few days later, we went into maternal fetal, and I remember watching Maverick's lifeless body on the ultrasound, and I had told my husband, I said, hey, I'm all, you know, something's going on. And he was like, really? Like, why would you say that? Because he wasn't putting two and two together. And the doctor came in and he told me, he asked the ultrasound tech because she had done my scan and just said, you know, is that everything? And he said, she had said, yes, that's everything. And he looked at my husband and I and said, I'm sorry, but baby A no longer has a heartbeat and he would be delivered stillborn.
How far along did you say you were?
21 weeks.
Oh my word. So you feel like we've gotten past the first trimester where the high risks are. I cannot imagine. So how long had you struggled with infertility before you found out you were expecting the twins?
My husband and I started trying in 2016. We started getting geared up for trying in 2017, so about 3 years before we got pregnant with our three-year-old, and then we had two losses between our three-year-old and the twins.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, when we were talking, she was like, I was telling her what all our show was about, and she was like, well, I fit into a lot of y'all's categories, you know, unfortunately. But yeah, you've walked through so much. How far along were you with those other miscarriages? Do you remember?
The miscarriages, I actually didn't know the first time that I was pregnant because I was postpartum and still breastfeeding, but I had miscarried at around 8 weeks. And then the second one was really early at around 4 weeks.
Which those are still hard too. I have a few that they called it chemical pregnancies. And so, yeah, it's basically, I was just a few days late and then miscarried. And so, yeah, I didn't even really know for sure that I was pregnant until the last one that I had. But those losses, I feel like, were so odd because you didn't know to grieve until all of a sudden you're grieving. You never got the chance to be happy, you know, and then it's like, do you share this news and expect people to be sad with you? You know, so many. Did you feel those same feelings?
Yeah, the first miscarriage was really hard because I was actually still having positive pregnancy tests up until 8 weeks after I miscarried. And that was really hard because I didn't realize I had already miscarried 8 weeks prior when I was getting the positive test. And I had no idea. I had thought it was a really bad, like my first bad postpartum period, not realizing that I actually had a really heavy miscarriage. And that's when I had talked to my doctor and it was suspected that more than likely it was another set of multiples because I still had the positives 8 weeks after actually passing the baby.
Wow.
Or babies.
Well, I'm sorry.
So it was really, really hard. It was really hard.
When you got the news about your multiples, then the twins, did you deal with any fear? And how did you find out about that pregnancy?
With Erickson and Maverick, my doctor had, I had watched the ultrasound tech. She does a lot of trainings in his office. And so I let her do the scan and I watched her scan and she goes, oh, there's baby. And then I watched her scan back the other way and I was like, and it didn't register to me that I was looking at two different babies.
Oh, wow.
And so I kind of thought, well, that's strange. And then when my doctor came in and he looks at the tech and he goes, well, did you tell her? And the tech laughs and she goes, you know, I can't tell her. And so he goes, well, he's like, guess what? It's twins. And my husband turned ghost white. And I was elated. I was so excited.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I was incredibly excited.
And then telling family, I'm sure. How did you tell your friends and family?
We actually don't have family, but I was excited to tell my 13-year-old.
Aww.
And we had We had waited a few weeks and we wrapped up some of his favorite action figures, and we did each one, like one from mom, one from dad, one from, you know, little 3-year-old brother. And then we did one from each of the twins, and that's how he found out there were twins.
Cute. Oh my word. That's so fun. I know that was totally up his alley.
Wow.
He loved it. He cried. He was like, twins? Oh, gosh. Because he went from being the only one in the house to now I have tons of siblings. And yeah. He's very excited. Yeah.
So you're preparing for this, these twins, and you have pregnancy. I know they put you often in the high-risk category, so it means a lot of times more scans and visits, and you're picking out names with your husband, and you have 20-some weeks of this where this identity... I'm going to be known as a twin mom. And then you get this news. First of all, what is the actual medical, like how was it safe for the other baby, or what did you have to have happen at that point?
Well, it's very interesting because, I didn't realize until after I delivered that I was actually at risk of dying or losing Erickson, one of the two.
Oh, my goodness.
The chances of me going to term and both of us making it, it's a miracle, to be honest.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it was described to me that my body would have gone septic carrying Maverick, as he had been deceased for so long.
Oh, wow.
So it was a lot. And it wasn't really on me at that point. I was very just all business, like kind of just, I was just like, I have to get through this, and there's nothing I can do about it, and I just have to keep going. And my husband actually was the one that was coping with the high risk and being very concerned over me, and I was kind of head in the clouds at the time, just kind of trying to survive my circumstances, and it was really him that took on that role of all the worry and the overwhelm and everything that was going on.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Are you saying that you had to wait the pregnancy out? So with one twin that was alive and one twin that was not?
Correct.
Oh my goodness. I can't imagine, you know, knowing that was going on in my body, you know. Was that hard for you to... I guess get through, and then like you get to the day that you have them, and I know there's heartbreak but also joy at the same time.
It's very interesting. So I really felt like when I had complications, I had a subchorionic hematoma underneath Maverick's placenta that showed up at about 7 weeks. So I already had a few complications early on, and I kind of had developed the mantra at that point that no matter what was going to happen in my pregnancy, that God was already present.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of had already geared up very early on that, you know, suffering is inevitable. And I kind of just was very blessed. I felt very blessed that he picked me to be a twin mom. Mm-hmm. And so I really just wanted to focus on the blessing of it than the fact that Maverick had passed away, and really just keeping... My husband was very focused on keeping me calm so that Erickson would be delivered safely at that point. So it's a very bizarre experience. It's hard for me to believe that I actually went through it. But honestly, I wish my son Maverick were here, but I'm very, very grateful that I'm his mom regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's beautiful. I think that's awesome that you were able. I know some days, some minutes were harder sometimes, you know, given that worry to the Lord, but you being able to acknowledge that and saying like, God, I trust you and I'm just grateful. Because I know some days, I know for me, just that's harder to do than others, you know. That speaks a lot to me, just saying that I'm just grateful, you know, that you're grateful for just being Maverick's mama, whether he's here or not. And, you know, I feel the same way about my John Micah. You know, I'm just grateful that I got to be the one to carry him and then to be the one to hold him and love on him for the few days that I got to. So I appreciate that reminder, just to be thankful for that time.
Tell us about the firsts, you know, like first of all, just the birth story, and then getting to hold both of them for the first time.
It was really hard, and it was, I had a lot of anxiety going in because I had to envision, like, and have that discussion with my husband, like, are you going to hold him? How is this going to play out? And there was an issue with the hospital and the way he was handled. So it was a very traumatic experience in the hospital. And so luckily a friend of mine came because my husband had decided that he didn't want to remember Maverick in that state. So a friend of mine had come and got him cleaned up, hired a photographer, and got him ready for me to see him and hold him and love on him. And, you know, my husband making that decision, it was a little bit difficult because, you know, obviously I didn't have him to be able to help me clean him up, and I'm in a bed and I've been cut open and all that. But she was really gracious. And I got to be honest, like, she cleaned him up and put him in my hands, and I held him and we did the pictures, and I just looked at him, and it was just so remarkable to see his 10 fingers, 10 toes, the hair on his head. I didn't get to see his face because the way he had passed away, it looked like he had put his hand on the back of his neck and just kind of fell asleep. And I didn't, you know, he was in a very like fragile state. So I couldn't really get to look at him like that, but it ended up being a very beautiful moment. My other children were able to hold him wrapped up, and it was remarkable, and I wouldn't trade it. The only thing I would have done different is I didn't get a picture on my cell phone of him, like his full body and everything. But it was highly anxious. I had a very difficult time going into that because I kept thinking, like, how do I know when enough time is enough? And it really happened so seamlessly because I looked at him and I didn't want to fall apart in front of my children. I'm totally okay with them seeing emotion, but I didn't want to get so worked up that they were upset. It was beautiful. I got to, you just watched the tears just glisten down my cheeks as I looked at his beautiful little body and just thanked God every step of the way. And I just said, you know, at the end of the day, it brings me such, you know, joy and peace knowing that he's with our Creator. And that was the moment I just said, okay, we're good. I'm good.
I can't imagine anybody knowing Jesus in that moment. Like, hearing you two talk about it, there's just something for someone who hasn't experienced it. It's just like so clear that the Holy Spirit was at work holding you all together and making, like, you finding your peace in the fact that you get to see your baby again. Someone who doesn't know the Lord and doesn't have that hope of security, I cannot imagine just being able to process any of this.
Yeah. We actually had...
It doesn't make sense to me.
No, I don't. We had a non-believer come visit us at the hospital. And you could feel her spirit in the room being different than everyone else's. And I know I'm the mama of the baby who passed away, and so I know that my spirit was different that day, but there is still a peace, like what you're saying, because I do know that he's in the safest place he could ever be. But her spirit was different. And talking to a friend of ours that we're mutually friends with, she said they talked afterwards, and she was like, I just don't understand how they were able to hold themselves together. She was holding her dead baby, you know. And I just think that I pray for her often now as she got to experience those few minutes with us in the hospital room. You know, hopefully she was able to feel the Holy Spirit and just help her, you know, she's not saved right now, you know, somehow that the Lord is able to use that experience in her life to somehow bring her closer to him in a way. But yeah, I can't imagine leaving that hospital like we had to do with John Micah, how you had to decide when was time with Maverick. I can't imagine knowing, okay, I'm never going to see him again, because we will. But they are going to be made new, you know, and you're going to get to see his beautiful face and, again, his 10 fingers and 10 toes again. And I look forward to that day so much more now than I even did before losing John Micah.
Now,
absolutely. Yep.
On the plus side, you guys have Jesus and you have peace to get you through this. But unfortunately, when you leave the hospital, your grief comes with you. It's not like you can turn off a switch and be like, oh, and I'm over it. Like, it's something that you process for the rest of your life. How did, this is a question for both Anne and our lovely guest. How did you guys in those initial first weeks seek comfort? And what were some things that you did to help walk through your grief?
Hello.
Can you hear us?
There you are.
Hi. Let me just repeat that question for you. So I'm just asking kind of the initial, after you leave the hospital, the first weeks and the first months of trying to heal, what were some helpful things that you did or outlets that you did to be able to find healing?
I was very communicative with my husband. Mm-hmm. I let him know exactly where I was at and what I was thinking and how I was feeling at any given moment, because he is my support person. And I'm not very good, I feel like, sometimes at showing maybe what I would perceive as like weakness or emotion, but with him, I can be my
real,
truest self.
Yeah.
And it was really hard because I was continuing to have phantom kicks panic and anxiety attacks, because I kept feeling like something's missing, like, oh, I have a baby missing, like my mind kept playing tricks on me. And it was very, very difficult in those first few weeks postpartum, because I kept expecting Maverick to come home in some way, which is so weird because I fully knew logically everything that had happened to me, but emotionally it felt like my spirit was trying to keep up with everything that had happened.
Yeah, that's so true. I think that's beautiful that you mentioned, staying in communication with your husband about everything, because I do feel like that is so important. And the statistics are crazy for couples who get divorced after having a child to pass away. I think I've heard it, and I need to check this statistic, but I'm pretty sure it's around 90% of couples that their marriages end in divorce because of how traumatic this stuff is. And I know I've heard so many people say that they struggle differently than their husbands did. And then as mamas, our bodies are still going, the things that you're saying, and then your body continues to go through things that everyone else's body went through after having a baby. But, you're missing that baby of yours. And so, it's crazy how your mind and body can play tricks on you, because those phantom kicks, they were real for sure. I would wake up in the middle of the night thinking I felt him kick, and, I was weeks out of the hospital at that point. And so, it just is an awful reminder, of what actually happened.
While you were processing all of this, you still have a newborn that you have to care for. So did you ever feel any sort of like guilt or like, how do I get the energy to wake up in the night and be there for this other baby?
Good point.
First of all, my husband is just amazing. So wherever I lack, he fills in so many of those gaps when I'm struggling. Like, we had a very, very tough marriage the first 5-6 years, things that people don't see in a lifetime. We've seen it. So I'm very blessed to have him. But on top of that, it really was if I lost Maverick, then I'm going to invest 110% into Erickson and my other children, because he's not here to feel that love. So I'm going to just give everything I can to the current situation in his honor. It's kind of how I coped with it. And the fact that God, really saw me through it, and it was amazing. And I wanted to honor that and show my gratitude for the circumstances I was in by being the most present I could be, but also exerting grace to myself in those moments when I was struggling, and really leaning into my husband for support.
Do you ever notice that you feel like Erickson is missing Maverick?
Yes. Absolutely. We've noticed certain things, like about he loves Maverick's heartbeat there. He really enjoys it. And he feels most comfortable, it seems, when he's laying on me with the bear as well, because it's two heartbeats instead of one. Because I often think how how traumatic it probably was for him in utero to hear two heartbeats, and then one day it was just one of them was gone.
Yeah.
Did you save his heartbeat on something?
The animal?
You have a...
Yes, I got it in one of our early ultrasounds. I got heartbeat pairs for each of them. And Maverick is an octopus that we have, and we love it.
I love that. Well, that's how he gets to hear it.
I think I've seen a few of your pictures you'll post with that, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
We try to include him in all of the pictures and everything, like when Christmas morning and everything like that, we had Maverick there with us, and we let our 3-year-old hold it. So sweet.
I love that. Well, Mary, we don't have much time, but do you have a few words of advice of anyone who might be going through an infant loss or even specifically a twin loss?
Honestly, just searching God's face in the midst of suffering, because He will bring about something beautiful if you choose to see it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, just hearing your story reminds me of why we're called Hannah's Heart, that, you know, we have these children that God gives us, but we have to give them back to God and leave them in His hands and trust that His ways are higher than ours. And like, you've had to do that in a way that's so beautiful. And I don't sense any anger or hatred, but pain, yes. Mm-hmm. But what a beautiful testimony. And thank you for sharing that with us today.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank y'all for listening to Hannah's Heart. We'll see you next time.